as it pertains to your congressional district.
Pamela Yates, I want to thank you for being with us, director of the new magnificent film, Borderland, The Line Within, and Gabriela Castaneda, advocate with the Movement of Immigrant Leaders in Pennsylvania, MILPA. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
The New York State Department of Transportation presents How to Navigate a Roundabout. The sign, Roundabout Ahead, means be alert. Look for the directional sign to determine which lane to be in. Check pavement markings to confirm you're in the correct lane. Always watch for and always yield to pedestrians at the crosswalks before entering the roundabout. Enter the roundabout carefully, yielding to oncoming traffic, then proceed counterclockwise. Don't change lanes in the roundabout. Watch the signs to find your exit. Always watch for and always yield to pedestrians at the crosswalk, then safely exit the roundabout.
And if you know a roundabout in your area, feel free to pay it a visit and practice. Get to know these things. They're safe, they're fun, and they're efficient. Just like us here at WUSB Stony Brook, where it's 6 o'clock, and don't shake your head, Kyle. It's true. It's true.
None of that's binding. No one said we're safe.
All right.
And at times, fun is relative. Come on. Don't make these declarative.
I'm trying to start on an optimistic note.
Oh, wait. We didn't start yet.
No, we haven't started yet. We haven't even begun. We haven't finished the ID. It's WUSB Stony Brook Broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. 6 o'clock Tuesday time for another edition of Off the Wall. welcome everybody to the show. Off the Wall is on the air again. Sorry for the delay, entirely my fault. A lot of actualities tonight, a lot of recorded pieces to prepare. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, Kyle's over there.
Yeah.
Are you still mad at me? You're still mad at me because, okay, this is what happened, all right? We were driving, all right, and actually we had two vehicles for reasons I won't get into. But we got coffee, and my coffee was in the car with you, and my coffee spilled, and you were mad at me as if I'm responsible for my coffee while I'm not even in the same vehicle. And, you know, I just think there's how much can I do here? I said I was sorry. I'm so sorry for my misbehaving coffee, but, you know, I'll do better next time. I will.
Well, knowing those lids are so bad, or like the construction of the cup, or whatever brand they're choosing at a particular place,
yeah.
Like it's just that it seems to, I don't know. You keep going back, even though you know it. And I guess I empathize with your.
It's the best coffee in town.
Persistent. No, totally.
Well,
you could bring your own mug.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I misstepped. Your coffee is the best coffee in town. But I'm not having your coffee tonight.
That's beside that.
I just want to make sure that's clear.
Not even in the same conversation.
Okay, good.
You could bring a reusable container that has a better to-go like lid if you're bringing it back in a vehicle.
You know, if you were to suggest that to me while I was sitting inside a car and you were standing outside the car, I would close the window and stare stonily at you as I closed the window.
But you prefer a reusable cup.
Anyone who gets that reference.
You want a reusable cup.
I would like that, yeah, but it's not the
plastic?
The cup's not the problem, it's the lid that's the problem.
Which is a plastic.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know what? This is why I have to cut back on coffee. One of the reasons. I'm going to have only water tonight because I think I'm getting a little over-caffeinated, you know, and it's, you know, you gotta listen. When you have, like, heart palpitations, that's a sign that maybe you're over-medicated as far as caffeine goes. Nothing to worry about. I've had it checked and everything like that. That just happens occasionally. It's like a muscle that kind of twitches.
Well, you could switch to tea.
That's got caffeine in it, too, though.
But there's, like, herbal tea in it.
Then I fall asleep.
Well, you don't have to get that kind of herb.
You know what's good? This beverage called water. Water, it's so, you know...
Liquid.
It's non-committal. It just is. Great invention. That's where I'm coming from. So I might sound a little off because I'm not at my usual level of hyper. Just my normal level. Well, actually, with one cup of coffee. You know, there's people who drink five or six cups of coffee a day.
You can do it safely, but it's not something that over time you're really not going to run into issues with. I mean, and it also depends on what all the mix of everything else you're doing and ingesting and yeah, your sensitivity to it, perhaps. Everybody's different. And things change over time. You got to mix it up. You got to try different things.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm trying something different now, you know. I always have a cup of coffee during the show, and today it's going to be a bottle of water. And it's definitely better. Definitely better. No question about that. I feel more relaxed already. But do I need to be relaxed on the air? That's the question that only the audience can decide.
There's nothing relaxing about radio.
No, nothing at all. Nothing relaxing about what's going on in the world. You know, in light of last week, and I'm still hearing what you said last week about not wanting to talk about this damn debate anymore. But boy, did that debate turn out to be really, really interesting. But it also, well, first of all, it led to Donald Trump saying he didn't want any more debates because he thinks he won. It's ridiculous. It's just insane how, I mean, what you're seeing here, folks, you're seeing disinformation 101. You're seeing how you all saw it. You all saw it happen, but this is what really happened, okay? Because what your eyes showed you, what your ears told you, that's not real. What's real is what you are told happened. It's 1984. It's so Orwellian.
There's a lot of that going around.
And I love that we can laugh at it. I really do. And some of the critique, the humorous critique, has been priceless. And we need to hold on to that tightly, you know, like a security blanket. But let's not forget, it's a very serious issue that's at the doorstep. And we can't just assume it's all going to work out. But anyway, concerning that whole quote, it made me search the archives, because we have massive archives at the radio station and through the various projects we're involved in. In fact, there's an archive going back at me right now. I'll get to that in a second. back in 1988, I was on the station. I worked at the station in 1988, did a show called Brain Damage. In fact, 1988 was the first year of that show. It was a talk show, Saturday night, 2 hours long. And George Bush, the first George Bush, not George W. Bush, the first one, George H.R. Bush, right? Is it H.R. Bush or H.W.? Herbert Walker. Is George H.W. Yeah. Bush. That's what it is. Where did I get H.R. from?
W.
All right, so he basically was done with debates. He was debating, what was it, Dukakis he was running against in 1988, and he didn't want to do any more debates. So we had this cart, we called them cartridges, it kind of looked like 8-track tapes, which for some reason everybody knows what an 8-track tape looks like, even though I'll bet there are people's lives have gone by without ever actually encountering one. But that's what we would use at the radio station. That's what all radio stations would use back then for things like recorded identification or even songs or promotions or PSAs, things like that. So we had one that basically had spliced together a very famous George H.W. Bush quote. And the quote, with some music beneath it, goes as follows. Oh, I'm sorry. I had the volume turned down on the piece. I'm sorry about that. I'm still learning. Here we go.
I will not agree to another debate. The answer is no. I am not going to have any more debates. We don't need any more debates. I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates.
I'm sorry that sounds so terrible, but it was distorted when that was recorded. That's what he said back then. It was very funny, and people mocked him relentlessly. Of course, he won that election. But that is what Trump is basically saying now. No more debates, because he had his ass kicked last Tuesday. And we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, going back to those archives, that was a show, I believe, October 15th, 1988. And I listened to the whole show because I wanted to get a better copy of that. Unfortunately, that's the best copy I could get. But I did hear a closing conversation that I had with one of WUSB's legends, Brother Nick, as we were transitioning from my show to his show. And we were just talking about some cultural things in the area. Now, keep in mind, this is almost 40 years ago, 36 years ago, that we were talking about this. And see if you can pick out various things that might have changed in this 3-minute clip.
Well, I'll be back again next week, hopefully. And, Brother Nick's got an incredible show planned. Brother Bill coming in?
No, Brother Bill is gallivanting around Lower Manhattan this evening.
Oh, wow. What's he doing there?
So we may get a phone call. I think he's eating, I think he's doing Indian tonight.
Indian is great, you know.
Yes.
And it's so cheap, too.
It's very cheap, and he's hoping that he can find a restaurant that's has English on the menu. So.
Oh, yeah, they all do. Down in
that's what I was assuming, right by NYU over there,
yeah.
And the bottom line, it was it's quite an experience. I think he's going to be calling us from New York City tonight.
Oh, that's great. We can look forward to that. A few years ago, Mike Uhas and I were doing a show on the station, and we called for addressing the fact that there were no Mexican restaurants on Long Island. And now look. Look at all these Mexican places. Look everywhere you look.
Both Eric and Mike are stockholders in PepsiCo, which is the owner of Taco Bell. Excuse me.
Well, that's not what we meant. The Taco Bells existed, yes, but that's not what we were talking about.
Real Mexicans.
Now, I'd like to, you and me, perhaps, address the issue of Indian places on Long Island. I don't know of any Indian places on Long Island. Certainly not within a throwing distance of here.
Absolutely not. I don't know what the problem is. It should be...
I propose that there be an Indian place that delivers to campus within the next couple of months.
They'd probably do a bang-up business.
Yeah.
They really would.
They would. There's no other place around.
As a matter of fact, I know a couple of people who are doing kind of like a sublet business. They take orders for people on the halls for Chinese food, and then he himself goes to the Chinese restaurant, picks it up, and charges a fee for this.
That's ingenious, but is he on call all the time?
I think he's on call. He literally has hours, I think, from 10 p.m. till 1 in the morning, because there's a particular place that closes late that's takeout.
That's ingenious.
It is. He's probably a history major, but...
It's like a college know-how for you.
It's incredible.
Well, hopefully we're giving people ideas and ways to make life easier around here.
Indian food. All you need is curry and lots of rice.
Indian food is great. Just had it the other day.
Oh, excellent.
Great stuff. Still burning inside me, but I like that kind of thing. You know?
It's great. It's good. It's hot stuff.
It's passionate.
Yes.
That passion inside your system. Yeah, you turn into a passionate person, I say.
You do. That's why the Italians are the way they are.
Yeah, because they eat Indian food all the time.
They eat Indian food, but you think of Indians, they're very placid, calm, reserved, and yet...
Because inside, they're exploding.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Very much. Well, Brother Nick is coming up.
Yeah.
Eric Worley here with you. I'll see you again next week. Take care of yourselves.
Oh, yes. 36 years later, what can we say about that? Okay, kind of invented DoorDash on the air just then. Talking about going to a Chinese place and re-delivering food. I hope he's the guy that invented it. I hope he's the guy that actually profited from it. It was a good idea then, and it sure seems to have caught on now. And 6 years after that show, the first Indian place opened near campus. And now there's a bunch of them. But, it just goes to show folks, listen to us. Because, sometimes we come up with things well before the mainstream gets it. Just like, the music we play on WUSB, oftentimes it's way ahead of whatever you might hear on commercial radio or in the discotheques or whatever the kids are doing these days. It's all a learning experience. So that was fun. And I got there just by looking for that quote from George H.W. Bush. I just sort of got sucked into the entire show. They're time capsules. They're all on 2600.com in the radio section. Just click on Other and you'll find Brain Damage. Every single show that we did and we didn't lose the tapes for is up there, as well as every edition of Off the Wall.
Yeah, we're actually taking measurements for the mainframe that we're going to be building for all of the future.
Okay, Kyle announced today that he intends to buy a mainframe, and I have a lot of questions about
this.
Well,
it's just all of this stuff's piling up. We're going to need a bigger system.
You think things are piling up now. You bring a mainframe into here. First of all, you're going to need to rewire everything. I'm not even sure 240 is enough for that. You might need, 600. I don't even know how it works.
Yeah, I think it's
that.
Definitely more than
it's a lot.
Two or a 100.
All the lights in Stony Brook are going to dim whenever you turn the thing on.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what you need it for because it's
nobody cares about all
less
that.
Computing power than my phone. So what's the point?
You're right. We'll just store everything on a phone.
Well, it's not the worst idea. Why not? Anyway, so...
what show is this? Is this Stargate?
What are we looking... You mean what's on the video screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're encoding what Kyle's doing. He's fixing videotapes that have broken. And he's
the last of the tapes from a much larger project.
I have a collection of something like 2,000 videotapes that I was taping since 1984 until I decided to give up in the early 2000s. I encoded a whole bunch of them, but there were a number that broke, and I just put those aside until Kyle decided he was going to clear out a room and start fixing these tapes. And guess what? They're working. So we're encoding things. I just saw Reagan's funeral. I have that on tape. I saw Clinton's impeachment. We captured that.
Cool.
I know these things exist in other places, but what I would always do is leave the recorder going. So that you get all the commercials, all the news updates, all the things that people skip over, because they turn out to be the most fascinating things years later. People who started off with their acting career, hey, there's a commercial they were in that there are no copies of, except for the one you might have.
I've come to appreciate this a lot, just in our circles and what people are doing with older media and just this system, like, it was, I guess, the main system. I mean, we had a bunch of parts left over, and all the pieces were in place because of this process. We knew, I think you were doing, four or five at a time. But
back then, I was doing four or five at a time.
So, yeah, the primary part of it was rebuilt a couple of times and is stable and able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cool to complete that. And I've never spliced any tape before. And it's kind of interesting from a radio perspective because that was the common way of editing quarter-inch, I guess quarter-inch, or reel-to-reel, as well as even, I guess, cassette tape. And I guess a long time ago I bought half-inch splicing tape for VHS and a little kit from somebody online. And it was all laying around, and then all the stuff here, the pieces were all in place is basically the short answer. And one of the many broadcast VHS player recorders is in service now, and it's all like I finally just put it together and like learning how to splice. It's funny that I'm splicing videotape before having never touched any magnetic audio tape, because it was all DAW, like digital audio systems, by the time I was learning about it. So it's retro, but also making it available in a portable sort of modern format, and just looking at stuff that was on when I was growing up too. It's a throwback for me. A lot of the ads, a lot of this style and stuff was stuff I got exposed to early, and like being able to go back and look at that, I'm appreciating that in ways I think other generations like looking back at their media of their yesteryears.
Well, a simple thing like a car ad in the 1990s is just going to hit you in a very different way than something today.
Totally. Yeah, you have totally different thoughts and experiences and what it was at the time and the way things looked, the types of people that they showed, and what was common as far as humor and that kind of thing. And emerging as far as graphic design and animation and CG stuff, it's all like earlier in where we're at now.
Right. And you also see how television was different, how there were more news breaks, there were less commercials, there weren't annoying animated bugs at the bottom of the screen constantly, and there just seemed to be a bit more creativity, at least on the commercial TV side, which is very hard to find these days. So it's just, you know, having this going in the background where you walk in occasionally and see something, it's pleasantly addictive, and it's just a good feeling to know that we're filling in those gaps. There are the tapes that continue to give us trouble, like occasionally you'll fix one, but it still won't progress, or it'll break again in a different place. So we're going to have some trouble ahead, but we're getting the ones out of the way that just work when you splice them, and that's a really good thing that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm thankful to you for having done this, wherever you were at in your career and in your life, finding the wherewithal to have captured some of this stuff and all these different channels.
I pressed record, that's what I did.
I know what you did. But
actually, you know, there's programming on, I'm trying to remember, programming on VCRs. Where you'd set it to record it, but you have to make sure it's on channel 3, and you have to make sure the box or whatever is tuned to the right channel, or that actually I didn't have cable for a lot of the time, too. So some of the video is an awful, and the video is good, but the reception is terrible. But that, in a way, is kind of cool, too, because the other day I was pointing out to you, and I said, Kyle, that's an airplane. What you're seeing where the picture kind of waves, you know, and then waves rapidly and then goes in reverse and slows down. That's an airplane passing over, and the transmitter is bouncing off of the metal, and that's why you're seeing that. Or you see a car ignition, which is a bunch of little dashes on the screen, little things like that, which people can't experience now. There's no analog TV to experience that with. Everything is pristine, and for me, it's kind of like AM radio, where reception isn't great. Audio quality isn't the best, but there's something magic about hearing, say, a Beethoven symphony over AM radio. Try it if you can. It's really pretty amazing. But you know what I did? I've never edited video. I've edited audio at the radio station. Would splice all kinds of things together and developed quite a skill there. But when I was a kid and I started messing around with cassette tapes, starting at the age of 10. Occasionally they would break, and I'd have to open them and figure out how to splice those on my own using Scotch tape. Now, it was easy when you could just unscrew the cassette and manipulate the tape that was in there. But when they didn't have, a lot of them were sort of glued together, I had to carve it open with a steak knife. all four corners of the cassette and figure it out from there and then tape the whole thing back together. So that's kind of where I developed my passion, I guess.
Yeah, I looked at some of the instructions. Scotch tape was one of the things that was recommended for video, but I got, you can also get splice tape that is the exact dimensions. And I've learned a lot about the cassette mechanisms and the different types of enclosures, but successfully, some of them being broken or like rusting, basically, like some of the screws and stuff rusted and you were unable to like get enough leverage to remove it. I was able to like transplant, like move stuff over into a new cassette. I think that's similar to like what you were doing with the glued ones,
yeah.
Unless you re-glued them. But it's, I think in some cases they're going to need some kind of like bath to like clean some of the stuff, like maybe some alcohol on the sides of the tape.
Some will need more work.
You know, like is talked about with stuck tape, like baking in the audio realm. I think some kind of equivalent where like working some of that free or manually spinning them with some other kind of mechanism, mm-hmm. slowly. I've done that a bunch, like advancing them, but there is a lot of fragility in it, and I think that just keeping the most difficult ones in like a separate pile until we get to them with ever more care, and then getting them in some form digitized before they're too brittle to even work with. I keep breaking them and then repairing them, trying to get through them.
I would love to be able to share the entire collection on YouTube, but Google's copyright restrictions are just so insane that even a 40-year-old tape is going to trigger them. Where they say you're not allowed to put this up because somebody else owns it, even though nobody is watching it for to get out of buying a stream or a DVD or anything like that. So we're going to put it someplace, maybe Internet Archive or someplace that is a bit more fair.
Yeah, I don't know if the mainframe is going to get here in time, but there's this other one that is run by the Internet Archive that you can run some software that allows you to upload to your account and do pretty nifty stuff in large batches and stuff that categorizes the metadata and does that from the command line. And you can integrate some other tools and things that are really handy, and they're much less restrictive. And the thing is, they're like planning to be around, uh-huh. which I don't see as much of that from some of the other commercial endeavors that are scooping up all of our video. And, of course, I don't know that they're, as a library, as interested in like, training all sorts of AI with it. So, but, yeah, and then, of course, the whole access and restrictive stuff, and then editing, like removing some of those ads and things like that. That's the stuff that is fascinating from the project's perspective of broadcast.
If I were to isolate the ads, it would be to present the ads, not to delete them. To say, okay,
yeah.
so what was this for? Who are the people in this particular ad? And it's fascinating because some of those people would like to see themselves in an ad they were in that has been long forgotten. Or, a local newscast that there are no copies of except for what I have.
Well, I know the tool is a little library, the archives library, is a little bit different layout. But we'll play around with it and see if we can get a little bit of progress there as well.
I glanced at the video screen, and I think what you were seeing on the screen
was
UPN. It was on UPN. Yeah. I think it was Star Trek Enterprise.
Is that what it is? It's not like a Western thing, though.
Well, they sometimes had Western themes. It wasn't very good. But, one thing I just actually found out today, I recollected how bad the intro was to Star Trek Enterprise. Do you remember the intro to Star Trek Enterprise? I guarantee you don't. I guarantee nobody does. Because it is the most un-science fiction sounding. You know how science fiction shows sound.
Well, there's a lot of trumpets. A
lot of trumpets, a lot of orchestration, a lot of drama.
What's your problem?
Okay, this is the Star Trek Enterprise theme. Getting from there to here, it's been a long time. But my time is finally near, and I will see my dreams. First of all, that was originally sung by Rod Stewart. This is not Rod Stewart. This is what's this guy's name? Russell Watson sang this. He's been through hell, by the way. He had a couple of brain tumors, but he survived. But that's got nothing to do with this. This happened way before that. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't, I mean, the imagery is good on the intro.
Yeah, I want to see what this looks like in combination.
No, that's nice, but it's just, this doesn't work for me. This doesn't say Star Trek. This doesn't say outer space and adventure.
Yeah, I missed this. I don't remember this in any way. Are you playing a joke?
No, I'm not.
This had something to do with space?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're lying. This is, no. I'm.
You know what? Call the station, ask Howard for Destiny's, our science fiction show, every Friday, 11:30. And he'll not only tell you that I'm not lying, he'll tell you the history of this.
And he won't hold back. Show?
Enterprise was, well, I think, the last of the Star Trek attempts before they started to attempt again. Or whatever. That's neither here nor there.
I don't remember this show.
That's something I learned just by watching the archives. So archives are cool, folks. Listen to archives. Watch archives. They're a learning treasure. Okay, so we got to talk about what happened last week. Boy, did Trump get his ass kicked in that debate. We talked about the Springfield myth that had been passed around. I was ridiculing it a week ago. I knew more about it than a candidate for presidency of the United States, because he just repeated it as if nobody had talked to him and said, you know, this is complete fabrication. Haitians are not eating cats in Springfield, Ohio. Not Springfield, Illinois, by the way. So many people are getting that wrong. Springfield, Ohio, much smaller place. This is not happening. It's a ridiculous post that the person who posted it, in fact, has expressed horror at what she did inadvertently and has taken down the post. But they're doubling down. They're continuing. They're continuing to say that they're trying to modify it. Okay, it turned into cats, dogs, geese at one point. They're just trying to make it so that Haitians are evil and they're scaring people in this town in Ohio. And the people in Springfield, Ohio, they posted a picture of a whole bunch of people in a Haitian restaurant. And that's the image they want to convey, a place that's welcoming. First of all, from what I understand, and I'm not sure entirely how accurate this is, but most, if not all, of the Haitian immigrants there are documented. In fact, they moved there so that they could restart businesses and drive the economy up. I'm sure Republicans will never believe that, but ask around and find out. But to see that, I mean, we've seen the quote 100 times. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. It's just, if it wasn't so terrible and hateful, it would be funny. And it is funny, but it's not something that overall should be what we laugh at, because this guy still has a chance of becoming the most powerful person in the world. It's up to us, you know? We're the ones that make that decision. And to see that level of misinformation and disinformation, which is intentional, that should give anyone pause. I just cannot imagine how, and I'm aware of the pun I just said, give anyone pause. I just can't imagine how anyone could see that and say, yeah, that's my guy. I could imagine them saying, boy, I really don't like Kamala Harris. And fine, you don't have to like somebody. But surely we can agree that one person is competent and one person is not. You might like the guy. You might think he says funny things. And by the way, he's coming to Long Island tomorrow. I got a ticket, actually. I listened to what Harris said. She said, go to his rally. I got a ticket. It was so easy. In fact, you can get one right now. I'm not going to give out the website, but it's the Donald Trump website, and just click on events. I don't think either it's not filling up at all, or they don't care, and they'll just, you know, give anyone who asks a ticket. But you'll get all the email after that as well, which is a whole lot of fun, believe me. And I can't go anyway because I have another radio show. I didn't realize that at the time. But where was I going with that? So he basically made a fool of himself repeatedly. Kamala Harris showed that she can be presidential. She showed that she can win in a debate, answer tough questions. Did she answer every question? No, of course not. They never do. But what she did answer, she answered well. She didn't stumble. You know, she was forceful. That's what we need. We don't need a guy that's going to be triggered every time you mention crowd size or believe some crazy lie that somebody puts forth. And there are a lot of people putting forth crazy lies. Now, remember, this all happened because of Facebook, because somebody posted something on Facebook. It's crazy. And it's why we have to take a good look at social media and not take things seriously. Embrace the media that does research, that has professionals who are good at their job, not just anybody who has a blog or a website. It's not the same thing. I know people want it to be the same thing. It's not. It's obvious why it's not, too. You don't need me to explain that. Anyway, as of now, according to Axios, Kamala Harris has soared to a record 6-point lead over Trump in a post-debate poll, which is a majority of likely voters, including 1 in 5 Republicans, believe Harris won the debate. Performance appears to be crystallizing her national lead over the former president, said Eli Yokley, political analyst at Morning Consult. And this is one of a few. You know, it's polls aren't necessarily accurate. In fact, they're notoriously inaccurate. And it's probably the worst idea in the world to become overconfident or even confident at all. But I like to think that people are responding to what they see in front of them and to not to what they're told they see. Now, if you read Fox, you'll see headlines like this. ABC's David Muir sees newscast ratings decline after controversial debate performance. Okay. One thing that I can say about watching that debate and rewatching that debate is that the moderators didn't do anything controversial. Okay, this guy stepped in and he said there is no evidence that Haitians are eating dogs and cats in Springfield, Ohio. Now, to the Republicans, that's an attack. That's fact-checking somebody when he didn't fact-check the other person. Well, explain to me how that works. So Donald Trump gets on stage and says they're eating cats in Springfield, Ohio, and he gets a fact check. Kamala Harris goes on stage and says they are not eating cats in Springfield, Ohio, and she does not get fact checked. Is that unfair, or is that just how facts work? If you tell something that's not true, you get fact checked. And, yeah, there are things that she got. I think there was a handful of inaccurate statements she made, according to one of the fact checkers that I was looking at. And I think for Trump, it was around 60. He makes things up. He spreads lies. This is nothing new. It shouldn't be new to anybody. And over the weekend, yes, it happened again. It happened again. Someone with an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. But, again, this is being spun in what I consider to be shameful ways by Republicans. They are accusing anybody who criticizes Trump now of fomenting hate and creating the environment where people are trying to kill Trump and attacking viciously anyone who says that Trump's rhetoric is raising the temperature, Trump's lies, Trump's falsehoods and prejudices and hatreds, because that's blaming the victim. Yeah. There is no question that the temperature has been raised because of the things Donald Trump says and does. Period.
Yeah, but it's being conflated as that instead of what it has been, which is a warning that this is you're getting the world that you've been asking for by inflaming a lot of that and leaning into the polarization. And it shouldn't surprise anyone, and this is what Democrats have been arguing and talking about for a very, very long time, an astonishing amount of time. So to to say that and in a serious breath now, to me, only it only shows that it is about being a victim, and it is a form, to me, of confirmation bias, that they're just seeing what they want in the world they've asked for, with the kind of guns, the kind of demonization. What is that the expectation? And this is what that former president has been saying all this entire time, is that the world, everything's gone to hell, blah, 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 blah. That's his whole world view in debate and everywhere lately and on the trail. So it's only confirmation bias, and it is what he's asked for.
He's promising a bloodbath if and when people are deported. He says this will be a bloodbath. He says it'll be bloody if he loses. These are his quotes. These are his statements. These are his calls to violence, glorification of violence. So when people say this is unacceptable, this is a danger to democracy, somehow they're the ones who are ramping up the rhetoric. They're the ones who are making it so that Trump's life is in danger. And if you say that he's the one setting this up, and that's what people are reacting to, well, then you're as bad as a potential assassin, apparently. They are using this in a desperate attempt to try to get people to sympathize with them and vote for them. It's not going to work. I don't think people are that stupid. I really don't think people are that stupid. I have a lot of faith in people, even people I disagree with, to see through this nonsense. I mean, wow. And you know, I don't know anybody. I honestly don't. I know a lot of people. I don't know anybody who wishes violence or death on Trump or anyone in the Republican Party. We're disgusted by them. We're, you know, the reprehensible behavior. We want to see them not in power, not anywhere near a position of power. We want to see them pay for whatever crimes they are convicted of. All of that. And what Republicans are doing now is saying, if you say things like that, that means you're adding to the hatred. No. No, we're adding to the way the system works, where if you lose an election, you go away. If you get convicted of a crime, you might go away somewhere else. That's just the way it is for everybody else. And you're no different. Well, actually, you're very different, but the whole thing is nonsense. And you mentioned guns. Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Because look at the gun culture we live in. This happened in Florida, where it's practically mandatory to carry a gun. How did this guy, who is a convicted felon, get a hold of, what was it, AK-47?
Doesn't matter.
AR-15?
It's a rifle.
Okay. One of those guns. One of those guns out there. How did he get a hold of it so easily? Well, we all know how he got a hold of it so easily. Because it's easy to get a hold of guns in this country. Courtesy of Republicans and their legislature and their adamant refusal to do anything to pass any laws. The only crimes this guy has been accused of right now are federal gun crimes. I.e., not being allowed to have a gun, at least not a gun of that sort, because he's a felon. And scraping off the serial number, or having a gun that had the serial number scraped off. Now, okay, think about how this story was being reported over the weekend. Shots were fired near the president. Turns out no shots were fired, except for the Secret Service firing at this guy that they saw with a rifle in the woods. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I don't know the situation. But it seems that the initial reports weren't exactly accurate. Is being reported that he didn't actually have Trump in his sights. I don't know exactly what that means. But if he wasn't a felon, and if that serial number had not been scraped off the gun, what would you be able to charge him with in Florida? I mean, think about that. Is it legal for you to sit in the woods with a gun if you're not a felon and the serial number is there for all to see, if Trump is nearby playing golf? I don't think there's a law that prohibits that. And that's crazy. And that's the point that we've been making for years.
Yeah, they're not asking for it either.
They're not asking for change in gun laws, no. Guns aren't the problem. Democrats are the problem.
That's why it's in your hypothetical, totally cool in their view.
Now, you know, the issue of who this guy was, it's being portrayed that he's a lefty, that he's somebody who quotes Kamala Harris and all that. And somehow they've morphed it into the previous guy, the guy that got killed, who actually took a shot at Trump, that he was a Democrat too. And neither one of these is true. In fact, both of them voted for Trump, you know. So I'm not even saying they're Republicans, although one was a registered Republican. I'm not sure if the other one was, but they certainly aren't Democrats or liberals or whatever. But even if they were, that does not represent an entire class of people in any way. Just like if they were Republicans, it wouldn't represent them in any way. So to do this, another desperate attempt to try and get sympathy and say that this is somehow being caused by Democrats, when that's the furthest thing from the truth.
That's a great point. I think like the disaffected from the blue side of things will just double down and keep voting. I mean, that's kind of that's what we're encouraging everyone to do. And if you're, it doesn't work out the first time, you just go back and try to regroup and come up with a different plan. I think the disaffected from his camp, who are persuadable or dissatisfied with what the options are the more dangerous one at that point. I mean, it's just news to me. I didn't know the voting record. I haven't really looked into any of this.
I just heard that before the show that he voted for Trump in 2016. I mean, wow. Okay. So you know, all these accusations that are being hurled, they're not valid, and if you find yourself hesitant to say something bad about Trump, it's working. That's what they want. They want people to not criticize him, to not say he's a danger to democracy. He most definitely is. He most definitely has to be stopped. He is a menace. He is out of his mind. And people shouldn't shoot at him, obviously. But that's, you know, what was this guy doing exactly? Because he like I said, he didn't take a shot. He was there for 12 hours beforehand, and apparently Trump hadn't decided to even play golf until that morning. So he was there before there were any plans for him to be on that golf course. Was he up to something else? Is this just some big performance art piece? I mean, there's something weird going on here. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy nut, but from the way it was reported at first, gunshots near Trump, another assassination attempt, he wasn't even aware of what was going on. Because gunshots, yeah, there was Secret Service firing at somebody that they saw with a gun who did not fire the gun and then tried to escape in a car. And somehow this civilian was able to get pictures of the car and the license plate. Really good detective work there. And they got the guy. And now let's find out what that was all about. But to demonize Democrats for that or anybody that opposes Trump, that's part of the danger that we're talking about. All right, nearly 50 protesters marched at Stony Brook University campus on Thursday, the first pro-Palestinian demonstration since last spring when the arrests ordered by university administration stirred controversy among students and professors. That administration is no longer in power. That's right, gone. They're at Yale now if you want to get arrested there. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but at the same time, I have to stand up, said freshman Soren Wu, a studio art major. If I get arrested, let it be. I think you mean to say so be it. I can't control that. But what I can control is helping other people and being a voice for people. And that's admirable. Let's see. May 1st, gathering of pro-Palestinian protesters were asked to vacate the grassy area on campus known as the Stoller Steps. They did not. They were arrested, all kinds of mayhem, and cell phones seized and illegally searched. Follow. Let's hope Stony Brook does better this time. Yeah, because this is unacceptable. And I hope there are more demonstrations because we need them. We need people to be speaking out. Now, last Thursday, there was one uniformed campus police officer Other campus officials flanked the students as they chanted and marched for nearly an hour. And then the event concluded after about 2 hours without incident. Looking ahead, they say SB for Palestine is discussing how to keep protesters safe from arrest, adding that we can't trust police or administration to keep us safe. Ain't that the truth? And you probably never should. Today, you know, this is a story that's just developing as we're on the air, but today we're hearing horrible reports out of Lebanon. I don't even know where to, I don't have all the facts, so I can't really speak intelligently about it, but it appears that hundreds of pagers, people still use pagers, and apparently it was an attempt to not be monitored by Israel, their hostile neighbor to the south. People were using pagers, specifically people in Hezbollah, and they all blew up today. They all exploded. Now, you know, you might say, and I've seen this already, I've seen a commentator on CNN call it brilliant, assuming Israel is behind this, which I have not admitted to yet. But he said this attack, which injured close to 3,000 people, around 200 critically, killed 9 people, including 1 child, it was brilliant. And if we can actually look at people as so meaningless that we can just blow them up and say, oh, we were targeting bad guys and a lot of civilians got in the way because, well, you know, they were in the supermarket at the same time. I mean, what have we become if this is in any way acceptable? Yeah, fight your enemies. But civilians should never be the enemy. And in this particular case, there was no urgent need to do this. We don't know what happened, how it happened. We'll find out. But already I'm seeing very, very biased reports minimalizing the lives of innocent people and going back to the tired mantra of Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, so does Lebanon. So does Palestine. So does everybody. And we sure have the right to speak out. Okay, finally tonight, I'm going to go out with a piece of music from a band that's in the news called Manya, the Mexican pop rock band. We don't usually play this kind of thing. They removed their 2016 song with someone named Nicky Jam after the Puerto Rican reggaeton singer expressed his support for Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Manya does not work with racists, the group said in an Instagram post explaining the decision to remove that particular song from online platforms. He expressed pleasure at meeting Trump, the guy that got purged out of their playlist, who since his first presidential campaign has promised to close the border and espoused harsh anti-immigration rhetoric. And apparently Trump was confused and thought that that this person was actually, Nicky Jam was actually a hot female. Yeah, do you know Nicky? She's hot. Where's Nicky? He said. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. Anyway, going out with a song by the band Manya, who I hope I'm pronouncing right. Please write to us, otw@2600.com. Good night, Kyle.
See you later.
No puedo entender este mundo como es. Yo no puedo odiar, herir y traicionar, porque ¿cómo puede ser que haya gente que pueda matar por diferencia de opinión, por tierra o por religión? No sé. Corazón, oye mi canción, ya no más amor.
haya tanta destrucción. En vez de resolver, les enferma todo el poder. Esto quede claro, hay que amarnos como hermanos.
Hay que amar, hay que intentar.